We're in lesson number 8. We're at the distinctions of strongholds and being unhappy. If we have time at the end, we're going to go over our verses together. I know we don't have the screen today. We'll use the Bible if we need to. And next week, probably we'll be looking at a lesson in Romans chapter 6, verse 6 for this week as we're learning those verses. So pulling down strongholds. Remember the importance here is to understand that sometimes there's things in our mind that we allow the devil to plant that we have let become a stronghold. They're not biblical. They're not truthful. And we live our lives according to these things. And these are different strongholds that we need to push down and we need to take away in our lives. And we've been talking about there's five different distinctions when it comes to stronghold. Five different things that are, you can probably categorize these strongholds. And we talk about being unteachable. One of the reasons why people have strongholds is because they are unteachable. They're not willing to listen to what the Bible has to say. And I met people like that before. They because they've known something all their life, it's more true than what the Bible says. And we got to be careful about that. Last week we talked about being unforgiving, and I told you that that is something that can really help us set us free if we will learn to forgive as God has forgiven us for Christ's sake. And we spent a lot of time on that, and hopefully that helped you last week. I know it helped me understand a little bit better. And this week, the third category is something you might say, well, that's a dumb thing to even speak about, but I think it's important, is being unhappy. Being unhappy. You say, what does happiness have to do with it? Well, the Bible tells us in His Word that to be happy. You say, where does it say that? Well, the word blessed that often appears in the Bible, it actually means happy. You think about what the Bible says in Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3. He says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So he's saying that a person who is happy will do these things. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, the Bible's saying here that you can find happiness in doing what Christ has told us to do. You think about some of those Beatitudes. The Bible said, blessed are ye. And you think about, blessed are the peacemakers. What he's saying is you'll be happy if we try to work to resolve conflict in our lives. Blessed are the meek. What is he saying there? He's saying that if we don't spend our entire life insisting to get our own way and going through life with clenched fists, taking quick offense, we'll be happy. And it is a biblical thing that God wants us to be happy. And I know I've heard illustrations before where preachers have talked about how, that talks about how that joy is what God's promised. He never promises happiness. But I don't see where the Bible doesn't say that you can't be happy. I think that if we will find our hope in Jesus and we'll find our satisfaction in Jesus, that we will be satisfied and can be happy in His work. The Bible, Paul even quoted, Paul quoted when it says, Paul wrote, it is more blessed to give than to receive. What was he telling us? That the happiness that we get is not from receiving things, but giving things. So, I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot of Christians that are just plain unhappy. Have you ever met anybody like that? You should try speaking and preaching. At least you guys sometimes. You guys are preaching or being out in front of an audience or sitting. And maybe the choir sees it sometimes. But you look out there and there are certain people out there that you can just tell are miserable. And I'm not saying, because I know different people have different facial expressions. But I'm just saying sometimes there's nothing wrong with smiling. And there's nothing wrong with being happy. And I think it actually can become a stronghold in our life when we are miserable and when we turn around and we cause ourselves to not try to find satisfaction and contentment with God. I think Paul was happy in his service. Now, was he always happy about his circumstances? No, he was content with those, but he was blessed. And I believe he was happy in his work with the Lord. So, as we've done before in the past, we're going to break it down. We're going to look at explanations. We're going to look at evidences. We're going to look at an example this morning. And then we're going to look at exercises against unhappiness. So, what's an explanation of being unhappy? I think there's three different reasons why most people are unhappy. The first one is, and you have to look at your paper more today than you can at our board. The first one is depression. You say, well, that's something that's just a psychologist made up. Now, I think some people can hold on to these thoughts of being unhappy to the point where they become despondent and dejected. Some of the mental illness that's going on today, and I don't have all the answers for everything, but I know some people have some imbalances and that there's some mental illnesses and they have great depression. And I know that there are people, even believers, that are supposed to find their happiness in what God has said and what God is doing that can become depressed. What does the word depression mean? It means the feeling of severe despondency and dejection. Some people say that depression is just something that's made up. But even in the Bible, even Asaph, who was known for his psalms and some of the writings, he says, "Thou beholdest my eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak." Asaph was so troubled that he had trouble sleeping. There are physical signs that can indicate a person's depression. And we need to be careful that we find our hope in Jesus Christ. The second thing is not only depression, but disillusionment. Disillusionment, what does that mean? Maybe I'm not saying right. It's disillusionment. It's talking about a feeling of disappointing resulting from the discovery that something is not as good as one believed. Now, listen to this word, this definition again, because this is many times the cause for unhappiness in many people's lives. A feeling of disappointment resulting from the discovery that something is not as good as one believed. Now, I think about it sometimes, and I think some people that have had problems in the past with other churches and with other peoples that are in leadership, they just want to ask the question, is anybody for real? Is anybody actually sincerely living the Bible way? I remember when my pastor back, pastor before I left, at least the two pastors beforehand, he got caught in an immoral relationship. A woman had come to him. She was having problems with her marriage, and they came there looking for help, looking for counseling, and they ended up having an affair. And that's just, it's sickening, it's sad. But when things like that happen, people begin to question all Christians, begin to question all churches. I remember after that, God was working on my heart to become a preacher once again, and obviously I was trying to go out and tell people about Christ, and I'd lived in that town for many years, so I would, many times people know where I was from, but I invited people to come out to church, and they were saying, "Well, yeah, you guys had that pastor that, cheated on his wife," and they connected those things together, and here's the question, is there really anybody that's real in our Christian lives? I think young people today, sometimes they are pushed away from the church because they see the hypocrisy of some people, and they just want to ask this question, is there really anybody that is sincere in their work? See, many times when a Christian has been hurt or wrong, they tend to be suspicious. They become doubtful of others. And as a result, they tend to become unhappy. This is especially true when someone is hurt by a Christian leader. And the short answer is, anybody real? And the answer is yes. People are always being perfect. People can always make mistakes. But we are all sinners. But we can be sincere. We can be genuine. And we can be real. I hope we all know people like that. I hope our church is filled with people that are sincere and people that are real. People that are not putting on a show or a facade. People who are sincerely interested in serving God and wanting to do what's right because they want to please the Lord. That's our goal. But a lot of people are unhappy today because of the fact they have become disillusioned about what the church is supposed to be like, because they're discovering that things are not as good as they thought it was going to be. And, sometimes we got to be careful what expectations we put on people and individuals. Remember, we're supposed to look to Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. And realize that, you know what? We cannot be disillusioned by the things of this world. We instead need to learn how to accept and work and try to be the best we can be. No matter who fails us and no matter who may let us down, Jesus will never fail us. He will never disappoint us. He will never disillusion us. I think that's an important point. I know it's my desire to do my best to honor the Lord. It's my desire to help try to lead our church into wanting to become more like Jesus Christ and to be sincere and to be happy and to be successful and to be holy people because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. I think we need to cast off all those different times of past facades and past, hey, I got to look a certain way on Sunday and act whatever way I want to the rest of the week. especially in our homes. And I know not many of us have kids that are at home anymore, but grandparents and uncles and aunts, all the relationships that we have here, that these kids need to see us act in the same way at home as we do at church. Say, Pastor, you want me to talk the way I talk at home at church? No, I want you to talk the way you talk at church at home. So I want you to be on your better behavior. I want you to act that way at home instead of saying, hey, I'm in church. I can say what I want. I can listen to what I want. I can act the way I want. I can dress the way I want. I can do all those different things. I think a lot of times people have become unhappy in their Christian walk. It's because they'd be disillusioned. They really think that they're expecting something to be perfect. And we need to get to the realization that people are not perfect and we need to look unto Jesus. Another reason, because of discouragement. I think people can be unhappy because of depression, because they feel like they're despondent, they're cast away. I think they can feel like because they have unmet expectations, and sometimes these expectations are unbiblical. They're disillusioned to what a Christian walk is supposed to be like. And it is amazing when you go out door knocking. Me and Mr. Pete were partners yesterday door knocking. People were disillusioned to what salvation is. And it's amazing what so many people come up with ideas. Yeah, I'm doing the best I can, or I've gone to all these different types of churches, and they expect something that really just is not true. And then discouragement. Sometimes people become unhappy because they become discouraged. You think about Jonah. Jonah was told to go to Nineveh. And when he said no, he went the other way. He came back and he finally got things right. But he was discouraged. Why did he get discouraged? Because he knew that if he went and preached that message and Nineveh repented, God was going to spare them. He got discouraged because he didn't like what God had told him to do. And he goes up and has himself a pity party underneath that tree. And he wishes that he would die. See, some people get unhappy because they become discouraged. Because they don't understand what it is that we're supposed to be doing. And that is doing what the Lord wants, because the Lord knows what's best. A pity party is one party that no one else wants to attend. If you're discouraged, you are going to be unhappy, but we must be like David, and we must find our courage and encouragement to God. Remember that time when the Philistine leader sent David home, and on his way home, he found out that the city that his families and his men's families were living in, they had been raided, and the enemy took their families and their possessions. And the verse says, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, here's the thing, is that we can become discouraged with the circumstances of this life, or we can encourage ourselves in God. So the question is, are we happy? Well, I guess the better question is, are you unhappy with where God has you in your life today? See, I think it can become a stronghold. Depression, disillusionment, discouragement, if not dealt with properly, can lead to unhappiness. And if unhappiness is allowed to remain and fester, it can create a stronghold that your enemy can use to defeat you spiritually. We need to be careful with that, because the Bible says, blessed are ye, happy are ye, if you do these things. And sometimes we've just reckoned ourselves to a life of unhappiness and unfulfillment and being unsatisfied. And I don't think that's what the Christian life is expected. I don't think you need to jump for joys when trials are going on, but you have the right perspective of things that God can work. So what are some of the evidences of being unhappy? Some of the evidences of being unhappy. And these two things are found in your book here, or in your paper. One danger sign of a stronghold of unhappiness would be an abiding dissatisfaction with the circumstances of your life. An abiding dissatisfaction with the circumstances of your life. Someone who just always is unhappy with the circumstances that God has given them. Remember what the Bible says, I am come. He says that they might have life, and that they might have light, have it more abundantly. God was saying, hey, look, Jesus was saying, he says, look, I came to this world. It's not only that you could have life, but that you could have life more abundantly. What do you think that promise applies to? Is that promise applying to only those people who feel like their circumstances are good? Does that apply, that promise only apply to things when things are only going good enough for us? What is good enough? An abundant life is available to you regardless of your circumstances. An abundant life is something that God is saying, hey, you can have an abundant life despite the circumstances they're having in because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. There was a little Chinese story, a proverb, and it says it's about a farmer. It says, whose horse ran away. His neighbors came to console him on his bad luck, and he said, it may not be so bad. A few days later, the horse returned along with a herd of wild horses. His neighbor came to congratulate him on his good luck. He said, it may not be so good. The farmer's son was trying to train one of the wild horses when it reared up and broke his arm. The neighbors consoled the family, but the farmer said, it may not be so bad. War then broke out, and almost every able-bodied young man was drafted into the army, but the son was spared. Why was that? Because he had his broken arm. You know, it's God has everything worked out in advance. If we will just say, I believe in God, I believe in the omnipotence and omnipotence of God, then we can have a happy and satisfied life because we are not living based off our circumstances. Instead, we are living according to what God wants us to do. God wants you to be happy regardless of your circumstances and what you find yourself. Yet so many people are unable to enjoy the good things that happened to them. I always thought it was amazing the story of Haman. The king had taken him, and this is the story of Esther, and the king had taken him and raised him up to being second in charge. And he got so mad and he got so upset that Mordecai would not bow down to him. He even says, all this availeth me nothing. He was second in charge of the kingdom. He had everything at his disposal. He was the king's right-hand man, probably even had more power in a sense because the king just relied on him to do everything. And he had decision maker. He had all these things. He said, all this availeth me nothing. Just because one guy wouldn't bow down to him. And what happened to him? In the end, his unhappiness led him to doing something foolish. You know, riches, powers, and prestige did not bring him happiness. He was unable to enjoy the good things he had. Nothing ever satisfied him. And I think sometimes this is what we forget about us as believers. We have a lot of things in our life that are good. We have a lot of things in our life that that we're set for. We're on our way to heaven. We had the Holy Spirit of God living us. We have an ability and opportunity to pray to God. We have His written word for us, preserved for us. And, you know, all this is amazing. We have so much to be thankful for and so much to be happy about. And the promises that He gives us, that He's never going to leave us, He's never going to forsake us, never going to give us more than we can handle. We have so much to find happiness in, but we've grown tired of those things because we're used to them, and now we're looking for more. But see, more is supposed to be our relationship with Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but there's people out there who says, hey, it's a beautiful sunny day. You know, somebody's going to say, hey, there's a chance it might rain. You know, if you spend your life worrying about the rain that might fall, you will miss the chance to enjoy the sun. If you spend your life worrying about what could happen, you're going to miss the life that God's given you here to do. And so many times people are so worried about that rain that could possibly fall, they're going to stay inside and never enjoy the sun. And we are supposed to be enjoying our Christian lives. Do not allow your life to be controlled by negative thinking that focuses on what you lack. Rejoice instead of what God has given you. Yes, life is going to bring some troubles, but you can get past them. Another thing, not only is the first one about somebody dissatisfied with the circumstances of your life, if you look at your paper, next thing is a recurring persuasion that God and others are not treating you the way you deserve. That God and others are not treating you the way you deserve. You get upset because you feel like, hey, God doesn't treat me the way I think He should. Or even better yet, we get upset because others do not treat us the way we think they should. This goes all the way back to the beginning. The devil has used this for thousands of years. What did he tell Eve? He said, yea, hath God said. He went to Eve and convinced Eve, even though Eve was perfect in a sense, and in fact she did not know sin, in a beautiful garden. She had a wonderful husband. The best guy on earth, and she, yeah, some of you got that, and she had as much food, and I'm guessing she didn't have to cook too much of it because it was fruit. You just pick it and eat it, right? So they didn't kill any animals. He didn't have to clean any animals. So I mean, it must not have been too bad. But the devil said God's not treating you right. The devil's told God He's not letting you do something you deserve to do. And see, unhappiness is something that is an evidence when you are persuaded that God is holding something back from you. And he convinced Eve that God was holding something good from her, and it was the key to getting her to eat the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. How often do you feel like God has withheld something good from you? God, if I could just have this, everything would be okay. Has God kept something back from you that you feel like you deserve? Do you have less influence than you think that you should? Do you get less attention than you think that you deserve? Do you feel like people aren't as kind to you as they are to others? And we need to look to Jesus. We don't need to look at past all these little things, these petty things. And if someone is treating you wrong, that's something that they have to deal with. And the Bible has ways and steps of doing this. But the Bible says that we need to realize that no good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. Psalms 84:11 says, no good thing will be withheld from them that walk uprightly. God gives you exactly what He knows is best for you. And that's hard. That's hard to accept, because sometimes we live in this world and we are broken, we are sinful, and we live around sinful people, and we're like, God, can you please just get me out of here? But our point and our satisfaction must come from not letting this be a stronghold and being unhappy. There was a story once about a pastor, missionary that had a successful mission field in Africa. After a successful ministry there, he came back to America to pastor a church. In the story, he tells that he had suffered from severe depression after he became the pastor of the church. Can you imagine that? You leave mission field and come home to be the pastor, and then you get depressed. He said, it was all I could do just to get out of bed. I go to church, teach Sunday school, preach a service, and then go home and go right back to bed. I drag myself out of bed for Sunday night, then I sleep half the day on Monday. He said, for months his depression continued. All through that time, he kept doing what he was supposed to do. He kept reading his Bible. He kept working with his people. He kept on praying. He did not see a secular counselor. He did not start taking medicine. But instead, he just kept trusting God and running to God. And his testimony at the end of 6 months was, I found out that the Bible works. It doesn't work in a second. It doesn't work in a day. It doesn't work in a week. But if you consistently apply the Word of God to your situation, it works. And I think so many times we want some type of quick answer because we live in that society that is so quick fix. You know, you got a microwave that you can turn around and something can be prepared to eat for in less than a minute. And you got TVs that you can fast forward through the commercials, which I think is a good thing because you want to watch the next segment of what's going on. Everything is, you have to have it right then. But we must realize that if you say, how do I know if I'm unhappy? As if we think, if we're persuaded that God or others are not treating you the way you deserve. Remember what we deserve. We deserve hell because of our sin. But if you had this persuasion that God is treating you wrong, that's going to be a sign that you're unhappy and evidence. Here we come to Psalms 13, and this is where we get an example of being unhappy. Example of being unhappy. Now, we see David dealing with his unhappiness here. Now, remember the story of David. You know, he had been years earlier told by the prophet Samuel, that God had told David that he was just, as a teenager, was going to be next king. He got notoriety by killing Goliath. And remember those ladies that came out and sang his praises, which got Saul upset, and Saul seeking to kill him. David flees from his palace. He had to hide in caves, and a small band of men joined him. This group of debtors and discontented gather around to follow David, and God protected them and blessed them, but there were difficulties. 5 years passed by. David has been tested. You know, sometimes I think we think David never got discouraged or David never became unhappy. But you read these Psalms, you see even the heroes of the Bible, they had to deal with these things such as discouragement and unhappiness. You think about Elijah when he heard that story and had to kill all the prophets of Baal, ran and heard Jezebel was seeking his life. He came out and he sat underneath a tree and said he wished that he was going to die. He had to deal with this thing of being unhappy and this discouragement. But look what it says in Psalms 13. This is David dealing with his discouragement. It says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Now, this doesn't sound like a man after God's own heart. This doesn't sound like the giant slayer. This doesn't sound like someone who is always happy. But we see here that this is true, that this is something that attacks us as believers. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. So you see that beginning part. He's saying in that verse number one, how long will thou forget me? You ever felt like that? He's like, God, have you forgotten about me? I'm here. I'm down here in Elizabeth City. I got this need. I have this problem. How long? Forever? How long will thou hide thy face from me? And then at the end of the middle of verse 13, it starts to change. He says, consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Let my enemies say, I have prevailed against them. And those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. He begins to pray. He begins giving, instead of worrying, he begins giving things over to God. But look what it says in verse number 5. But I have trusted in the mercy, in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. And what a change there. What David is doing is very dangerous at the beginning. If you spend all your time thinking about your problems, wondering if God is going to take care of you, wondering if God is going to bring about what you think you deserve, you know what you're doing? You're opening up your door to become discouraged. You're opening up the door to become depressed. And if you're not careful, you're going to come out with this idea that nobody likes me, everybody hates me, and nobody cares about me. You know what? There are people that get to that point. I've visited people before that maybe have left the church or been disgruntled or knocked on the door and talked to somebody and says, well, I stopped going to church because nobody loved me. Nobody cared for me. No one even liked me. No one said hello to me. And I feel like asking me, he says, you mean you went to a church service and you walked into a church service where there's 100 people and no one ever said even a word to you? That seems like it's a little bit out of touch. I said, well, did you try to talk to somebody? Oh, that's not the point. They don't want to hear that. But they want to hear the fact that they are sorrowful about all their things that they're upset about. And they blame God. And they feel like others have caused them to be unhappy. I don't care what the circumstances of your life are. God has been good to you. In one way, shape, or form, God has been good to you. And he's good to you every day. Every time you allow yourself to start thinking about the bad things and how bad things are and how unhappy you are, you know what you're doing? You're building that stronghold a little bit stronger, a little bit harder to break down. After expressing his emotions, he refused to remain wallowing in them. You do not have to live under your circumstances. You can rise above them. That's what David was doing in Psalms 13. His problems did not go away. After he had written this psalm, and after he had given everything over to God, after he sees that God has really dealt bountifully with him, Saul did not stop trying to kill him. He did not have an easy road after that. But he had taken his eyes off his problems and his human reasoning, and had given them over to God, and he felt like God had forgotten him, and he gave that over to God. God had turned his back on him, but he pours his heart out to God and his promises, and instead of complaining, he starts now praising God. I don't know, when's the last time you trusted in God's mercy? Now, we can trust in him for our salvation, can't we? If you're a child of God, we can trust in God's mercy and the fact that he's promised us he will never leave us nor forsake us. He will guide us. He will empower us. He has given us his Holy Spirit of God. He has given us a home in heaven. We have things that we can be happy for, and nothing can take those things away from us. You know, during this time, David was able to rejoice. Why is that? He was still running from Saul, but he was rejoicing. Years later, he became crowned king. And he was rejoicing. He was praising God, and he learned how to praise God when the circumstances of life were good, and even when the circumstances, according to this world, would be considered bad. Now, I got on that piece of paper, we got some passages of scriptures we're going to read and give you some ideas there. And you say, Pastor, how do I know if I'm an unhappy person? Well, you could probably ask somebody. They probably tell you, because an unhappy person is an easy person to spot, at least when you talk to them. But how do you do? Well, first of all, do you think God has robbed you from something? Have you been persuaded to the fact that God is holding something good back from you? Then you're probably an unhappy person. If you're unhappy in your circumstances, you cannot find contentment and happiness in your relationship with God, then there's another sign, an evidence that you might be an unhappy person. And that is a stronghold that many people don't even think is a sin, but you think about it. God tells us, blessed are Blessed are, he tells us a way that we can be happy and a way that we can be blessed. And if you're walking around miserable, you're never ever going to make a difference in someone else's life. You turn around and say, I'm a miserable person. Do you want to be a Christian so you can be miserable like me? That just doesn't work. It doesn't. It is a sin. It is a sin to have the wrong perspective on things. Now, I'm not telling you that there is not a time to mourn. There's not a time to weep. I'm not saying that. But I am saying that there are ways that we can keep our eyes focused on Jesus and not allow this unhappiness to become a stronghold in our life. Let's look at some of these scriptures. They're found on your paper, but you can read along with me. Psalms 42, verses 1 through 5. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I have gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of the joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And he's in this wonderful verses there about how we should desire God, how we seek after God, that there will be people that says, where is thy God? Things are not going right in your life. What, your God has turned his back on you. Then it talks about going to the house of God with the multitude. It talks about how we have no reason for our soul to be cast down. I mean, just wonderful passages of scripture there. Things that we can memorize and things we can be thinking about when we become unsatisfied and unhappy. Let's go now to Psalm 62. In Psalm 62, you have another passage here in verses 5 through 8. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength. And my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Selah. See, what does that mean? That means that we can trust in God and that everything. And look what it says at the beginning of verse number 5. He says, my expectation is from him. That everything I'm expecting, it comes from God. And that my expectation is from him. My soul is waiting upon God. And he becomes your fortress, he becomes your rock, he becomes your salvation, he becomes what you need in your life. And this is where we get to the fact that happiness and unhappiness, if God becomes everything we need, everything else would be a benefit that we get. Psalms chapter 73. Psalm 73. Now look at verses 12 through 17. Psalm 73, verses 12 through 17. Once again, these are things for you to write down, and if you think this might be a stronghold as you're battling the devil with it, these are scriptures you take and you read and you consider. Psalm 73, we're going to look at verses 12 through 17. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I shall offend against the generations of thy children. When I thought to notice, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. You know, if you read that, you see how the wicked seems like they are the ones that are prospering. You think about all those that say these things to you and they try to offend you. You cannot understand it. And David says, hey, look, when I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. And then when does it all change? When he goes to the sanctuary of God. When he spends time with God and with God's people. Go to Psalm 77, verses 7 through 12. Psalm 77, verses 7 through 12, the Bible says, will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forever? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember the wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. And once again, things are bad, and he's concerned. He's worried about what's going on. He's thinking God had cast him off. And then in the end, he thinks of it, and he wonders, and he considers. And then he goes back where his meditations are supposed to be, and that is God. One more passage of Scripture, and we'll be done. Psalms 139, verses 13 through 18. Psalms 139, verses 13 through 18. And this goes back to the beginning, where we realize that that God has known us from the beginning, and he cares about our thoughts. Psalms 139, verses 13 through 18. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. You think about that. God is thinking about us. How precious that is. How great is the sum of them. If I could count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. And just wonderful passages of Scripture there to help us remember that we have been fearfully and wonderfully made, that God is the one who's created us, he has made us, and he is thinking of us, and that he is still with us. I don't know about you, but being around an unhappy person is something that most people don't want to be around. I know that sometimes we get to a spot in time where we need some time alone with the Lord to reflect on things. Not everybody wants to spend time with everybody every second of the day. But at the same moment in time, we are a blessed people. We are a people that are supposed to be shining forth the light of Christ. Somebody that we are supposed to be reflecting Christ in our life. And this is not one of unhappiness, but instead one of contentment and satisfaction in whatever state we're found in. Let's go ahead and close in a word of prayer. Lord, help us today.